This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ratings the week of the draft are just gigantic on our show. The Friday shows the day after the draft are usually some of our most listened to shows of the entire year. People are into it. Not as much this year because of the Aaron Rodgers saga, so it's sneaking up on some people as far as their draft prep goes. Not so much for our next guest. For my money, as far as people we've had on the show, he's done more boots on the ground draft prep than anybody because he was at the Senior Bowl. He was at the Combine. And he was at Pro Days, and he's joining us right now talking about Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. Nick, if you had to make a prediction, I'm going to make you make a prediction on the pick right now, who the Steelers will take with the 21st pick, who is your money on?
Shedeur Sanders. That's my pick right now. It makes sense, man. He's fallen to them. I don't think the Giants, the Browns, or the Saints are going to take him at 2-3 or not. I think he has a really good shot to fall to 21. And if he gets there, I don't think they're going to pass up on him. So my money right now is Shedeur Sanders.
What have you heard about this meeting that he allegedly bombed when he was here?
I've heard that the meeting went well. Listen, I think they like his bravado. They like his confidence. It scratches some people the wrong way. I know of a few.
When you say they like his bravado, who are you talking about? Everybody? The brass likes it.
I think the organization likes it. I think Mike Tomlin likes it. I think Omar Khan and the coaching staff like it. I think Arthur Smith likes it. So I think all the top guys that are involved in this decision like the character that is Shedeur Sanders. I don't think it scares them away. It'll scare some teams away. It certainly will not scare the Steelers away. Steelers are not scared by confidence. They haven't been scared by guys like George Pickens coming out, and they're certainly not going to be scared by Shedeur Sanders. So I think that they really like him. I think that meeting went very well. I think that went 6 hours when he was in Pittsburgh that day. So I've heard good things about the meeting. I think he passed it with flying colors. And that was really their first touch point, the entire process. They didn't have a combine formal. They didn't have anything before that. So that was the first time Mike Tomlin and Shedeur Sanders really sat down for a long time with one another. That was a long time with each other. So I thought that meeting went really well for them. And that's why I think he's right at the top of their board. I don't think they ever thought Shedeur Sanders would fall to them. I think that is something they were kind of tipped off to kind of over the last month. It's become a growing scenario, and I don't think they ever expected it.
So have they been a snake in the weeds on him the entire time? They've always liked him, and now they're finally showing it?
I think they've liked him, but I don't think they were ever going to say trade up, you know, 3 to get him. I think they thought he was going to go to the Saints maybe at 9, the Browns at 2, the Giants at 3. Think of that, right? They're not going to trade up 13 spots. They're not going to trade up 20 spots to go get Shedeur Sanders. And so if he was going to go in the top 10, there was no point in them showing interest in him because they never thought they were going to have a shot at him. Now that they do, I think that they've kind of shown their interest in him. They've always liked Shedeur. They've always liked him. But I think they never thought it was realistic that he would fall to 21. And it's become increasingly clear over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Not only is it realistic, it's very, very possible.
Mike Tomlin has gone on and on about how he loves the dual threat quarterback and the athletic quarterback and how hard it is to defend. And he's, you know, talked about Justin Fields, that being such a big weapon for him. Despite one insider describing Sanders as uber athletic, we know he's not. He is a pocket quarterback. He's copied and mimicked Tom Brady's mechanics. His personal quarterback's coach is Jeff Blake, who was a pocket quarterback. He's a guy that wants to make throws in rhythm on time from the pocket. How does Mike Tomlin then reconcile how it seems to the outside that his perfect quarterback is someone who moves much better than Shedeur Sanders, Nick?
It's interesting, right? Because he's worked with this type of quarterback before. I mean, they're pursuing Aaron Rodgers. I mean, does that show you how much mobility means to Mike Tomlin? It doesn't mean everything. I think that's the thing. And Shedeur isn't a complete plotter. You know, he's a pocket quarterback, but he can move. I actually think he's.
But you're
kind
not
of
calling
like a
design run plays for him, Nick. He's not right. That type of quarterback like Jalen Milroe would be if you drafted him.
No. I would say he's kind of like a Derek Carr athlete, where Carr can actually scoot a little bit, but like doesn't use it for some reason. Shedeur can move a little bit. He can run. If you need to get first down on 3rd and 5 and they're playing man coverage, he can run at 10 yards. Like, that is what he can do. But mobility, I think some people think of this plan where it's Justin Fields or it's Jalen Milroe or it's Lamar Jackson. And while that's the hypermobile quarterback, I also think he's just okay with functional mobility. I think that's kind of what he is. I think, you know, Shedeur can move. He can make some throws outside of structure. It's not really his forte, but he can do it. It's in his game. He can do rollouts. He can work under center. So I think that's when he talks about mobility. He just means, are you functional? You don't have to be, you know, running the read option. You don't have to be running quarterback design power. You don't have to be doing all that. So that's how I think he reconciles it. There's different types of mobility. And as long as you're functionally mobile, he's okay with it.
If Sanders comes here and is the pick, what do you think is the plan with him in a scenario where Aaron Rodgers is here and then in a scenario where Aaron Rodgers is not here, Nick?
Well, if Aaron Rodgers isn't here, I think he starts. That's what I think they will do with him. If Rodgers is here, I think he'll obviously sit the punt. But I do think the Steelers' ideal scenario with Shedeur Sanders would be, hey, let's get him in here. Let's work on some of his mechanics, because he has to work on his lower body mechanics and get some more torque in there to get some more power on his throws. So he's going to have to work on a little bit of things. But he's very polished above the neck. He's a very smart quarterback. He can read defenses. He throws with anticipation. He's got these things on tape already. And so I think what they are going to do is they're just going to try and get the physical stuff fixed a little bit, the mechanics, and that's it. I mean, he's got the above the neck stuff. He's got a lot of the hard stuff done already. I think that's why he's ready to play. I think that you're not going to get a lot out of Shedeur Sanders sitting him unless you just want him to kind of get to know the NFL landscape, learn an NFL routine, learn NFL leadership skills. Because I do think that is going to be a little bit of a leap for him, the leadership part. Because, you know, when you are, you know, playing under your dad like that, it's a little bit different, right? You know,
he's always played for his dad his entire life.
Right. And so I think that's the interesting thing. It was a little clicky in Boulder. You know, he kind of hung out with Travis and Shiloh and wasn't a ton else there. And so I think actually managing the team, being a leader for a team outside of his dad's team, it's going to be a little bit of a growing spurt for him. He's going to be some growing pains there on the leadership aspect of it. But I do think, you know, the plan for him, I think if they draft him, should be to start him at some point in 2025, sorry. To start him at some point, man. He's not going to learn a ton, I think, by sitting on the bench. And so I think that's the key there. Aaron Rodgers comes in, though. I mean, I have a hard time believing Rodgers isn't the starter the whole year. So with Rodgers, this might be sitting the whole year. Without him, I think he starts.
Nick, if somebody makes a move and leapfrogs them and takes Sanders before pick 21, do you think the Steelers would take Jackson Dart 21?
I don't. I think they pivot to defensive line.
So you've said that the entire time. You don't think they're as high on Dart as some other people do. Why is that?
Yeah, I don't think they love Dart. I think they like Dart, but they don't love him. I think he's closer to the Milroe Shuck tier than he is to Shedeur. That's what I've heard since the Senior Bowl. I've heard that there's love in the building for him, but I've not heard that there is 21 love. I don't think that they're going to stick at 21 unless the board is ravaged, right?
So you don't think they have a first-round grade on him then? Personally, you don't think they
I don't think, yeah, I don't think they would take him over Derek Harmon or Kenneth Grant. Walter Nolan, I think they would. But I don't think Kenneth Grant or Derek Harmon.
What happened with Nolan? Because when you were at the Senior Bowl, it seemed like Tomlin was more obsessed with Nolan than he was with Dart. You came back from Mobile and said he barely didn't. He acted like Dart was invisible, like the guy wasn't even there, and he was glued to Nolan. So what prompted that switch?
Hey, man, he acted like the quarterbacks were invisible. Well, I think one way is the quarterback situation playing out in the way it has surprised the Steelers. They didn't expect to not have a starting quarterback on April 21st. I think that switched some things, made them take quarterback a little more seriously. Two, I think Nolan was always this kind of weird character, right? He had some character red flags. I think the Steelers don't want a true three tech. I think they want the either Cam Hayward replacement, which would be Harmon, or that nose tackle, which would be Grant. So he kind of fits in between both those guys. So he's not a perfect fit either way. Mm-hmm. So there's like two things there. And so the red flags character wise, plus the weird fit, I think have kind of softened them on Walter Nolan. As for Jackson Dart, I think that they like him, but I think he's a little too similar to what they did 4 years ago, which is, you know, I think he's a little bit similar to Kenny Pickett in some ways. He's got moxie. He's mobile. He's got a better arm than Pickett. He's a better prospect than Pickett, to be quite honest with you, in my view. But he is not the type of guy that's going to be a ceiling raiser for you. I think if they look at a guy that can force them to win Super Bowls, right, get them to win Super Bowls, I think they think Shador can do that a little more than Jackson Dart. And I think that's always been the scope they view a guy like Dart in. Is can he get us there? If not, why are we spending the 21st overall pick on?
Nick, if there were betting odds on the Steelers quarterback drafted in this this week, and Sanders was one right now because you think he'll be there at 21 and you think they'll take him if he's there, who is the second most likely quarterback to be drafted by the Steelers this week?
Well, I said this to you guys after the Senior Bowl, Will Howard. I really think that they like Will Howard. I think they like what he can bring.
Where
to the
do
table
you think they take him? Do you think at 83, or could they get him in the fourth or fifth round?
I think 83 would be where they would take Will Howard. Yeah, I think that's where he's probably going to land. I think he'll go between their two picks there, between the third and the fourth round, if they don't take him. And he's very Mason Rudolph-y in a lot of ways. He's got more mobility, but he's got that deep ball. He's strong. He's smart. And so there's a lot to like about Will Howard as a player. And I think the Steelers like it. They can be a long-term backup option for them. So I think he would be the second likeliest behind Shedeur Sanders personally.
Who's someone that's linked to them at quarterback that you think there's almost no way they take him?
Tyler Shuck, probably. I just don't see the scenario where they would get Shuck. He's going to go too early for them. And in a trade back scenario, if they wanted a quarterback, they're far likelier to take Dart or Milroe. I think that's the route that they would go. If let's say they trade back to 34, right, and they want to take a quarterback there, I think Milroe or Dart would be likelier than Shuck. So Tyler Shuck.
Going back to the defensive line prospects, there's a report in Dallas today that Harmon might have a medical thing that causes him to fall in this draft a little bit. That's the only place I've seen it. Have you seen it anywhere else? And if true, how do you think that that affects the Steelers planning with a player like him?
Yeah, no, I've heard it. It's true. He does have medical red flags. I've heard that going back to the owners' meetings about a month ago. That's when it first came on my radar that he could fall. And so it's real. I do think the Steelers have not had issues taking guys with medical red flags. Look at Troy Fautano. Look at Corey Trace. Look at Darnell Washington. They've done it.
How about Peyton Wilson?
Yeah, right. Peyton Wilson on top of that. So medical red flags don't hurt the Steelers. And Harmon hasn't missed a game in three seasons. So this is not like he's missed games because of this. But this is an issue. I think he will fall a little bit. I actually think in a trade down scenario, this makes it far likelier Derek Harmon will be there for them to take. And so I think that could change the calculation a little bit. They might be able to go back five or six spots and still get Derek Harmon. And I think that's really where you look at it. I don't think, you know, Harmon's going to have this just incredible fall where he's going into the third round. We've seen that happen before to some guys. I don't think that's going to happen to Harmon, but I do think it gives the Steelers a little more flexibility to trade back. Because I think if Kenneth Grant is not picked at 21, I don't think he makes it back in a trade back scenario. I think the Chargers are probably going to take him at 22. They don't take him at 21. So you'd be hoping Harmon then would be on the board.
Do you think the Steelers like Harmon or Grant more?
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer. I think that they probably lean Grant.
Interesting.
That. I do. I think that they are looking at him more as a nose three tech. I think they think he can be a three down player. I think that's the thing about him that's different from other nose tackles. You know, a lot of, it's great.
So first play of the year, if they take Kenneth Grant, Benton and Hayward are the defensive ends, and Grant's playing defensive tackle.
Nose. Yeah, he'll play nose.
And if they were to take Harmon, then it's just Harmon and Hayward on the outside, and Benton's still at nose tackle. You're saying?
Yeah.
So Benton's the guy that has his situation affected by what happens in the draft, in your opinion.
That's what I would say. Yeah. And listen, they think he's versatile and can play either spot. I don't think they care which one it is. So they'll go with whatever they want. They've shown a lot of interest in mid-round nose tackles, which is, to their credit, I think a great nose tackle draft. So if they don't take Grant, they could even double down. You know, they could take Harmon and then come back in, you know, round four or five and draft a nose tackle still. So I could definitely see a double dip at defensive line being a real thing for this
Donnie,
team.
You like the dude from Ole Miss that they used as a running back. What was the guy's name again? J.J. Pegues.
I talked to Nick about him the other night.
And?
I said he's one of my favorite, like, mid to late round players.
Is Nick Faribault a J.J. Pegues guy?
I do. I do like J.J. Pegues. Yeah, he plays fullback. He plays nose tackle. Man, he's just a hoss.
Oh, my God.
Like,
Pittsburgh would
is.
Absolutely adopt that guy and treat him like a prodigal son coming home if that's what he's going to do on this team, play both ways.
He would have strip district shirts made within the week, I'm telling you. That's exactly what he would have. There's so many good nose tackles in this class. Pegues is one of them. Jamari Caldwell from Oregon's another one. I think I mentioned Caldwell to Donnie every single time he has me on. I love Jamari Caldwell.
Did he come in for a visit?
Yes, he did.
Interesting.
And so those two guys, I think, are mid-round nose tackles to watch for Pittsburgh. But don't discount a double dip. I think that's not out of the question for the Steelers at defensive line. So keep an eye on that. They are going to attack defensive line pretty heavily, I think, in this class.
Nick Faribault, PennLive.com, Steelers insider, did more boots on the ground homework on the Steelers draft than anybody. Senior Bowl, combine, owners meetings, pro days, and is joining us right now.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks, and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mulzi off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Donnie's here. Nick Faribault, Steelers insider, PennLive.com, did more reporting on the draft than any Steelers beat man as far as going places, covering things. Who we have on the show is back with us. Chris Sims just put out a mock draft, does not even have Shedeur Sanders in the first round. Only has two quarterbacks, or only has one quarterback going in the first round. That would be Cam Ward, number one overall. Some of the text and YouTube comments we're getting here, Nick, are related to the Steelers taking Shedeur and this idea that they would be screwing themselves out of a 2026 first-round quarterback and how that's where their sights should be, making sure that they're in position to take one in next year's draft. What are your thoughts on that?
That's what I think they should do. I think Shedeur is a guy that is a high floor, low upside prospect. I think he'll be a solid starter, but I think you have a really good shot of getting in that 18th best quarterback tier, the Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Tua Tagovailoa tier. I think that's kind of where you would end up. I just don't think it's good enough in the AFC. But next year, it looks like there's going to be a good quarterback class. Listen, I've talked to scouts. I've talked with people about the 2026 quarterback class just to kind of see what the NFL thinks it's going to be. They think it's going to be a really good class. And, you know, there's a multitude of guys that I could name, you know, Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, Drew Aller, Lenore Sellers, Arch Manning, et cetera, et cetera. But the NFL is really excited about this 2026 class. They think it's going to be deep, not 2024 deep where you had six go in the top 12, but deep enough to where the Steelers could make that move up the board to go get somebody. And so I think that's what they should do. I'm just not sure there's a guy in this class that moves the needle for them. I think Shedeur gives them kind of the stableness that they want, the stability they've been looking for at that position. But I don't think he's necessarily the ceiling raiser to get them to Super Bowls. And I think that's what they want to shoot for when they're trying to get out of this quarterback purgatory. And so I think that's what they should do.
So why do you think it is then that they're not?
Well, I think they have a view of Shedeur Sanders differently than I do. I think that's
Think they look at him as a high floor guy. You actually think they believe he can get to some elite franchise quarterback, one of the 5 or 10 best quarterback in the NFL level?
Well, I think they think he can do that, and I also think they value the high floor more than I do, probably.
Well, they did with Kenny.
They drafted Kenny Pickett, Pony, because of his high floor. That was a big part of drafting Kenny Pickett. They value high floor more than I value high floor. If this was the NFC, if they were in the NFC, I think you can make a very good argument they should take Shedeur Sanders. In the AFC, you have to be Burrow, Jackson, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Stroud, et cetera, et cetera.
Adam Schefter reported today that the Steelers are one of the teams that's trying to trade back in the first round. Number one, does that strike you as easier said than done, or do you think that that's something that really is on the table? It's something they almost never do. They have not moved back in a first round in more than 20 years, Nick.
Well, I think they want to do it, but I do think it's easier said than done. And, Pony, it goes back to this discussion I've had with scouts since the Senior Bowl, which is this class is not viewed as a high-level class. It's not blue-chip talents to trade up for. So there's not expected to be a lot of movement up and down the board. Now, if you get a blue-chip talent falling to 21, I mean, it's hard to see the Steelers passing on that guy on top of that. I just think, you know, there's a scenario where you really have to thread the needle here where the Steelers don't want that blue chip prospect plus can get someone to come up for them. So it's just not going to be a class with a ton of movement. There's maybe 15 true first round talents in this class, maybe less than that. Some teams have as low as 10 from what I've heard. So this is just not a great class. And so when you don't have a great class in terms of the top, but you have a deep class because 20 through 100 is viewed so similarly, you don't get a lot of trade-ups. And I think that's where I kind of have a lot of trouble seeing the Steelers getting this option for them at 21. The obvious scenario where they would get a trade-up at 21 is Shedeur Sanders. But as we've talked about,
they don't want to
would just take Shedeur.
Right, exactly. Schefter also, in this same article, has Pickens named down as an expendable player who could get traded in the next few days. That seems to be getting debunked by every Steelers insider out there. Would you put yourself in that category as someone who sees no way George Pickens gets traded?
I'm not. No way. I think that's strong wording. I'd say it's unlikely. That's what I would say. They're not shopping him. They are certainly not looking to trade him. If a team came in with a crazy offer, I think it's not.
What's
crazy.
A crazy offer? What's one where it's like we don't want to trade him, but this is too good to refuse? Second round?
So the Chiefs offer you their first round pick. The Browns offer you the first, well, not the Browns. The Giants offer you the second pick of the second round, something like that. Early second, late first, I think would have to be the crazy offer. I don't think they trade him for a third round pick. I'm not even sure they trade him for a late second. They're really not looking to move George Pickens. They traded for DK Metcalf with the idea that he would be paired with George Pickens. And so I don't think they're looking to do it. I do think there's questions of how George Pickens is going to react when they tell him he's probably not going to get an extension this summer and what that could look like this summer. I think we talked about it. We might have.
Why wouldn't they tell him that now? Why wouldn't they let him know that in April instead of making him show up in Latrobe and then saying, hey, hate to break it to you now, George, but the money's not coming. Now go out there and give us everything you've got.
Yeah, I mean, they should tell him that. But the Steelers oftentimes wait until after the draft for contract business, period. They don't even focus on contract until after the draft.
Yep.
So that's a big part of it is they haven't even looked at their checkbook yet necessarily and said, hey, should we pay George this? Can we fit him here? Usually they tell those guys that, you know, at the start of OTAs. That's when a lot of these guys figure out what's going to happen this summer. They might have some preemptive talks early in the offseason with teams. If they're like, we're definitely going to extend your guy. Like, just be prepared for it. It's coming. But if you haven't heard from them, sometimes it means they're waiting on. So the Steelers just kind of wait for after the draft to get this contract business done. You know, same thing applies to TJ Watt, really. They haven't even delved into that too much yet.
Where do you think the Steelers would draft the wide receiver?
Yeah, I think the third round probably starts that. Maybe if the board is that barren at 21, I could see them taking someone like a Matthew Golden or a Mecca Ibuka still. But I think in round three, you know, you're talking guys like Jaden Higgins. You're probably talking Savion Williams.
TCU.
Listen, they could draft one in the third round or they could draft one later. I don't think there's a guarantee that they draft one very early at all.
Where is Roman Wilson in their plans?
I think they view him as a wide receiver 4 or 5.
Well, then why do you pick him in the third round then? If that's what you view him as.
Well, I think they did view him as the starting slot last year before he got hurt. And then Calvin Austin had, a better than expected year. And from what I've heard, and this is from what I've heard in the building throughout the process, Calvin Austin is the wide receiver 3 and will start in the slot. That is what the plan is right now. And then obviously you have DK and Pickens. So I think Roman Wilson's just going to be your depth guy. He's going to be your top depth option. If anyone gets hurt, Roman's going to step in there. But that's kind of the view right now. A full year with injuries, it does dampen the stock even with inside the org.
Who would have to, like, who is a guy who's completely off the radar, Nick, who's not a quarterback or a defensive lineman, that if he fell to the Steelers at 21, they'd have to have a serious 10-minute conversation in that room about whether or not, even though he doesn't play a position of need, he's too good to pass up like they did when they took DeCastro all those years ago?
It's an interesting question. I think there's two prospects that immediately come to mind. The first one is Will Johnson out of Michigan. Corner, so talented. He has some knee medical issues. He's been flagged for some knee issues. So he could be a surprise faller. If he fell, you know, that guy's probably a top 10 talent. I think they would have to think about taking him. And the other guy I think they'd have discussions about, where it's like can't pass him up, would be Jahdae Barron out of Texas. Slot corner that can play outside. He's the type of guy that can do a lot of different things for them. Could play in the slot this year, then kind of go outside next year when Darius Slay's probably gone. He's just a really high-level talent. A lot of teams have him as a first-round player. So I would think those two, it's really corners. I don't think that there's another spot I can think of. I don't think I can see a lineman that they would take that's going to fall there to them.
How about one of the tight ends?
I don't think that they would take the tight ends. Warren has no shot of falling to them. If he fell to them, would they think maybe? But I think he's going 7 to the Jets. Loveland, I don't think they would take him either. I think that, you know, Loveland's a great player, and I think a lot of teams view him as a top 10 player. But again, I don't think the Steelers are going to look at tight end at all.
Brady asks, what if the Arizona receiver made it to 21? What would they do in that situation?
If Teterow McMillan fell, that'd be interesting. He's a divisive prospect. Some teams have him as a top five player. Some teams have him as a second round talent. I don't know where the Steelers fit on that.
Yeah, because they did absolutely no homework on him. They didn't go to his pro day. They didn't send any their wide receiver coach there. They did nothing on him.
From my view and what I've heard, I think that their favorite receiver of this group is Matthew Golden out of Texas. I think they love him. I don't think he's going to make it to 21. I don't think McMillan does either. If he falls to 21, I think you at least have to have a discussion about it. But, man, where does he play at that point? Because that is overlap. He is a pure X or Z receiver. He is the most overlap you could get with George Pickens and DK Metcalf. He's not going in the slot. So,
Donnie, your boy Emeka Buka is out of sight, out of mind. You were sending out Buka videos during the college football playoff and national championship. Like, here's our guy, your next Steelers wide receiver. And that's poof. Not even under consideration, really.
Now he's going to be good. I guess he'll just be good for somebody else.
Yeah.
Do you think before DK Metcalf got traded here, he was like Buka would have been under consideration?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think there's still a board where Buka is under consideration. I don't think it's completely out of sight, out of mind, but I don't think he's their top wide receiver. And I think that they like Golden better. That's just kind of the vibes I've received all draft cycle. So there would have to be some things to happen for Buka to be the pick. Probably in a trade down scenario, I guess. It would have to be some trade down panorama stuff where you get some crazy board and that's the pick. But I think he's probably, you know, their third or fourth wide receiver there in that group.
Where do the Steelers take a running back? We'll ask Nick next. Plus one guy they've looked at a lot who doesn't seem to fit in their defense at all, but they've scouted him like crazy. So what's the deal there? .530, time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. No one did more reporting on the draft leading up to it than Nick. Combine, Senior Bowl, Pro Days, did it all. And he's joining us right now to give us one last draft preview before Thursday night. He said the smart money is on Shedeur Sanders being the Steelers' first-round pick. Also did not rule out Kenneth Grant and Derek Harmon as prospective potential Steelers' first-round picks as well. How about this guy from Texas A&M, Stewart, who is an edge rusher who averaged a sack and a half a year every season at A&M for 3 years, but the Steelers did bring him in for a visit, and he's a very polarizing prospect. First of all, Nick, like, you have TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig. Why are you even kicking the tires on this guy?
He's like DeMarvin Leal in some ways.
Oh, great. Let's do that again. Cool.
Yeah, right. Spent a first-round pick on him this time. He's that tweener type, man. He could play edge. He could probably slide down to five tech in the sub-packages that they run. He would give them a really interesting kind of run defense piece, which is my guess of why they're looking at him. He's a pretty good pass rusher. He just doesn't finish. I think that's the issue. He falls off tackles, unlike any pass rusher I think I've evaluated in a very long time.
That's like saying he's a really good golfer, but he doesn't make putts. I mean, it's pretty important to finish the plays off.
Right. I mean, he's got the hard part down. That's the thing. He wins. He beats tackles. He gets the quarterback, just needs to tackle the quarterback. It's like Keanu Benton in a lot of ways. Keanu Benton does that a ton where he gets to the quarterback, just doesn't wrap him up. It's so frustrating as a coach. It's fixable. I think that's the good thing there. But I don't understand the fit. It's a really odd fit to me. Their rationale would have to be, you know, that they would want him as an edge four and a sub-package interior defensive lineman. Now, Pony, riddle me that. Does this sound like worthy of a first-round pick to you to spend it on a rotational edge rusher or rotational defensive line? Because that's what he'd be. He's not playing defensive line in base. I'll tell you that.
He's not a toy. He's a luxury item is what it sounds like to me, just hearing you describe him.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he is. And I'll tell you what, I feel the same exact way about Nick Emanwori, the South Carolina safety, who they've shown interest in. It's guys that don't really fit needs right now. There may be future needs or rotational pieces that are niche prospects. And there are guys later in the draft that have similar skill sets to them. So they can draft a guy like Shamar Stewart in round four. His name's Elijah Roberts. They brought him in for a pre-draft visit too. He's a fourth round pick and he can do the same thing. There's no reason to spend a first-round pick on Shamar Stewart.
I think they're going to draft the running back. Do you think it's going to be on day three, Nick, or do you think they pulled the trigger earlier than that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be that third or fourth-round pick. I'm not sure which one yet, but I will tell you this. I think that they really want explosiveness. I think they want to get more speed in the backfield. I think guys like Dylan Sampson, Jadon Blue, Bashil Tutin, DJ Giddens, those four, are four guys to really circle there. I think they really like Giddens. I think he's a player to watch. But they are looking at the kind of models that they want to be, right? The Detroit Lions and the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles have Saquon, and of course the Lions have Jahmyr Gibbs. Well, the Steelers now need an explosive back to pair with Jalen Warren. I think that's where they're looking. And so I think round three or round four is where they're going to get, and I bet that guy has some speed on him.
I got a question over the weekend about, you know, even if they do draft one of those guys you mentioned, once the draft is over and free agents don't count towards the compensatory pick math for next year, do you think the Steelers will sign a veteran running back? Chubb's still out there. Dobbins is still out there. Do you think those guys are still potential Steelers?
Never say never, but it's not. I'm not expecting it. I haven't heard them really pop up around the Chubb, Dobbins, whatever conversations recently. I think that those guys will find homes. I don't think the Steelers are going to be involved in there. I actually think the Steelers' backfield is going to be Warren, that draft pick, and Kenny Gainwell. That's what I think. They really love Kenny Gainwell. I can't emphasize that enough. They like Kenny Gainwell probably a lot more than you and me. Like, they think this guy's a really good third down back. They think he can really eat into carries. So I'm not expecting a vet. I'm expecting.
So do you think the running back they draft will be the third guy then? And that
probably
it's definitely
second.
Warren's. Is Warren for sure locked in as their starting running back, or could somebody unseat him in this draft, Nick?
So I think of it. Think of the first two downs, or really the first three downs, as 1A, 1B. And Warren and that draft pick are going to be 1A, 1B. And then Gainwell is just going to come in whenever those guys need spells, or it's a third and long. I think that's where he fits in. He comes in a lot on third and five to third and tens. That's where Gainwell really ate last year. And so that's kind of where he is. He's kind of a complimentary piece. He'll do kick returns. I think that's the other thing he'll bring. So he'll bring some different things to that room. But I do think this rookie running back is going to be the two. But I think it's going to be a 1A, 1B situation. I don't even think it's going to be a 1 and 2. Think of it as 1A, 1B. So that rookie running back's probably going to have around 200 touches. That's just my guess.
And no way they'll draft Hampton from North Carolina in the first round?
I don't see it happening. I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's going to
go to Denver.
I really think Amari Hampton's probably going to go to the Broncos at 20.
Yeah,
I think that's where he'll land. I think that, you know, the three running backs in this first round, man, I think Travion Henderson's going to be a first-round pick too.
Ooh, wow. How about that, Donnie?
He told me that the other night.
I had somebody tell me they think that the Bears could take him.
Because they've had
the 10th pick.
Nick can correct me here. He said the Steelers have had more points of contact with Henderson than anybody else.
They have. Yeah. It's interesting. They've shown a lot of interest in him.
So where would they take him?
I think in a trade back scenario. That's my guess. A trade back to, you know, like 31. I think he'd be a pick on the board for them.
Do you think the Steelers would make that Giants trade that's been rumored, where they got 34 and 65 and gave up 21 and 185?
I don't know if they'd even have to give up 185. I think the Giants would just trade them their second and third round picks and
for 21.
I actually think, from what I've heard, the cost of that to come up to 21 would probably be 34, 65, and a fifth. So the Steelers could get three picks,
jeez,
I think, out of that one. So I think that that could be interesting for them for sure. And if they did make that trade, I don't think necessarily that's something that's going to necessarily happen. I don't know that the Giants are going to trade with the Steelers. I think they're going to try and trade in front of the Steelers.
Yeah, because they want to make sure they get Sanders. Yeah.
Right, right. And if the Steelers did get offered that deal, and let's say the Giants wanted to get in front of the Browns and the Saints, who wanted to trade up to get Jackson Dart, and the Steelers didn't want to take Jackson Dart, that would be the scenario. And if they got that, I think they'd be thinking about that. And at that point, if you get to 34, Travion Henderson's in play. You got Jalen Milroe in play. You got Jayden Higgins in play. You got a whole wide world of guys in play. Darius Alexander's probably in play. The board completely changes. But that is a very tempting offer, I think, if they get it. I think that would be very
Any other way they get. How else do they get into the second round, Nick?
Well, I don't think they're going to. I don't know. Trade Pickens, I guess, if they really wanted to.
But this pipe calculus. Dream where it's been all about, you know, oh, they're so hell-bent on getting the second-round pick, it seems highly unlikely, unless the Giants or Browns get very desperate or the Saints get very desperate about getting into the 20s again to take a quarterback.
Yeah, I think you will potentially see a trade up for a quarterback. I just am not sure it's going to be the Steelers pick. That
they're another team that's linked to those quarterbacks. That's the problem there.
Right. I think the Giants are in on Sanders. I think the from what I've heard, the team actually most connected to Dart is the Saints.
Yep.
So I think the Saints would come up to maybe the bottom of the first round. And then I've heard the Browns less around Sanders and Dart. And
they
more
like
Milroe.
Yep. So, I've heard that too.
So I kind of think, you know, if the Steelers get a trade-up scenario, it's either going to be the Saints coming way up and do you want to trade all the way back to 40, or it's going to be the Giants trying to pop up and kind of surprise everyone with Milroe or Dart.
He's done more work on the draft than anybody covering the Steelers, Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. Thanks, Nick. This was a lot of fun. Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for having me on, Pony. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.